last 3 days, we considered dealing with some emotions that arise when we practice biblical separation. Firstly, it is insults, dealing with insults, and then dealing with sorrow. Lastly, yesterday, we dealt with loneliness. So we dealt with loneliness. But today we'll be dealing with favoritism. Favoritism, partiality, prejudice. So we'll be dealing with favoritism. For some who may not know what is favoritism, I'll give you the definition now. Favoritism is giving unfair treatment or unfair preferential treatment to one person or group at the expense of another. So not only you show preferential treatment for this one group or one person, you also neglect the other group or the other person. So before I begin with this topic, let us turn to James chapter 2. Because the apostle James, he speaks against favoritism in this few verses. So from James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, we'll be reading verse 1 to 13. James chapter 2, verse 1 to 13, responsively. James chapter 2, verse 1, I'll begin. My brethren, hath not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons?
For if there come unto you assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment,
and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool.
Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and I will become judges in your thoughts?
Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?
But ye have despised the poor, do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats.
Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called?
If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well.
But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors.
For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all.
For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Together, 12 and 13.
So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, but mercy rejoiceth against judgment.
Okay, may the Lord bless the reading of his holy and sacred word. So now I'll ask you a question. Is giving more food to the older ones? So for example, in children's care, we give more food to the upper primary. We give more food to the upper and lower primary. But we give we give half a portion. We separate into small bowls for the pre-primary. So is it favoritism? Is it because we like the upper primary and lower primary so much that we give them more, we give them one whole big packet of zicha, we give them one whole big packet of cha kway teow, and then we give the pre-primary half a bowl. So does it show that we like the upper primary and lower primary more than the pre-primary? And then, so you have the answer yourself, right? It is not. It's just because their stomach are smaller. So we give them the right amount. That's all they can eat. And for the primaries, they can eat more. They're growing faster. We give them more nutrients, more food. So, and again, some time ago, when I was serving in a children's camp also, one upper primary boy asked me. He asked me, why am I showing so much more concern and attention on one of the pre-primaries? Because this pre-primary, he just came and then he also needs a lot of attention. So I was showing more attention to this pre-primary. So this upper primary saw, and then I think he felt jealous or something. So he asked me this question. Or maybe it's just out of his curiosity. Then, so he asked me, why am I showing such an unfair treatment? Yeah, in his way of asking, it seems like I'm being unfair. But is it true that I'm being unfair? It is unfair if I neglect this other group which I'm supposed to take care of, which is the upper primary. If I neglect this entire group and just only take care of the this young boy, this pre-primary, then indeed I'm showing favoritism, I'm showing an unfair treatment. But if I already fulfill my duty for the upper primary, I take care of them, I make sure that they are well and everything is taken care of for them, and then they just do what they want during their free time. So during the free time, I take care of this lower primary, this pre-primary small boy. So this is how some people may think that, oh, just because you spend more time on something or someone, then it shows that you are showing favoritism. But did not also the Lord Jesus Christ, some may say the Lord Jesus Christ also showed favoritism, right? Because we know that he has a few groups, he has a group of friends, so-called, a group of disciples that are closer to him. So who are they? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Of course not. It is Peter, James, and John. So these are the three closer disciples that he had with him. And as for the rest of the disciples, did Jesus Christ neglect the rest of the disciples? He did not. Because when he changed water into wine, when he multiplied the loaves of bread, did he just multiply it only for that small group of disciples? Did he not also multiply it for the rest of his disciples and as well as the entire multitude? And he was able to feed 5,000, right? And in the upper room, did he not sit down with the 12? All 12 of them sat down in the upper room and had the Last Supper with him. So he did not show any form of favoritism. He's the perfect Lord God. And so therefore, we know that as we live our lives on this earth, it seems like we are showing favoritism sometimes. But how we need to view it in the right perspective. Of course, we need to view it in the right perspective. We must see it. Make the right judgment. Don't be too quick to judge others. So that is what favoritism is not. That is what favoritism is not. But now this passage of scripture that we have read is what is favoritism. So the definition of favoritism is here, and the Apostle James speaks against favoritism. So favoritism is also a form of wrong separation. Because yesterday we heard of separation due to isolationism and separation due to being too obnoxious. So I'd like to introduce you this third form of wrong separation, which is favoritism. You separate based on your preference. Because you like this group more than this other group. And then you just only concentrate on this group. You only keep yourself to this group. And then you totally separate yourself from the other group or from one single person. So this favoritism might not only be between groups, it might be among people, individuals. Just because one person does not have the same character, same conduct, same behavior as you, same likings as you, then you totally exclude that person from your life. Is this how it should be? So the Apostle James here tells us what is favoritism and how he speaks against it. Okay, look at verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. So the Apostle James here is introducing this theme of favoritism, this topic of favoritism, and he straight away say, if you have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, means if you are a Christian, and then should you be practicing this kind of favoritism? So respect of persons, another simpler word is just favoritism, because respect of persons means you see the face, and then you are inclined to this person's face. So respect of person, so respect of faces, in the original is faces. So the Apostle James says, you cannot. This is not what you should do. Because if you love God, you say you're Christian, you love God, then what should you be doing? You should be loving your brethren equally, right? You should be having, there should be no lack of love for one another. And this is what the Apostle James is, this is who the Apostle James was speaking to also. These people are the Jews who have been scattered abroad. So you look at James chapter 1 verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So James are speaking to the Jews. This is the early, very early church, when the church began to take shape, when Christianity began. And we know that Christianity began not with the Gentiles, it began with the Jews. So this is a very early congregation that James is speaking to. And early in this time of the church age, they suffered a lot of persecution. They suffered a lot of persecution from within as well as without. So when you declare that you are Christian, your things will be confiscated. Your family will go against you. So those fathers who are the sole breadwinner, they will lose their job, and then they cannot provide for their family, and then the entire family will become very poor. As for ladies, for the women, once they declare that they are Christian, they'll be kicked out of the house, and they are not allowed to take anything with them but only the clothes that they have with them. So we know that this group is usually a very poor group. They have not much. Whatever they have, they share among themselves. So this is the outlook of the early church. They are Jews, and they were very poor. So the Apostle James said, he was referring to these people, and he addressed them as brethren. And so he knew that there was a lack of brotherly love and concern among this group. Therefore, he wants to address this issue right here and now. So verse 2 to 4, the Apostle James evaluates what favoritism is. He evaluates some of the church members who are practicing favoritism, how it looks like. So this is the example he gives from verse 2 to 4. I'll read for us. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? So let me rephrase this entire passage and make it simpler for us to understand. So if any man comes into your church with a gold ring, meaning with something that is outstanding. So what are the things that are outstanding now? So maybe some people come in with a nice bag, or some people come in with nice clothing. And that's why the Apostle James continues to say, and in goodly apparel. So goodly apparel means luxurious clothing. Luxurious clothing. So nowadays, what are the famous brands that we have? We know that the brands that are just right smack in the middle of the clothes, right? We know Supreme. Another one, Champion. Yeah, so, okay, just these two brands will do. So these two brands are what is in trend these days. So you see someone comes in with Supreme and Champion, then you really think that, wow, just because they wear Supreme and Champion, that they really are Supreme and Champion. So you have to treat them very well, treat them like Supreme, treat them like a champion. But what the Apostle James says, and then come in also a poor man in vile raiment. Vile raiment is dirty clothing. So he doesn't have the as Supreme and as Champion the clothes to wear. He comes in dirty clothing. He comes in with clothing that maybe smell a bit and not so nice, maybe a bit baggy, not fitting. And then we think, why such a person come in? Then verse 3, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. Okay, this gay clothing is a old word of meaning expensive clothing. So this kind of splendid, expensive clothing, referring to the first person again, who came in. As an example, the person who's wearing the branded clothes. And then you say unto him, sit down here in a good place and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. So you usher the person in. You usher the one wearing the branded clothes in, and then you put him at a very prominent place. Maybe for normal churches, prominent places are close to the front, maybe the second row or third row. Yeah. So you want them to have a clear view of the preacher so that they can hear, they can receive they can receive the message clearly. And then the poor man, you put him all the way at the back because you tell him, I think in front no space, like, then I put you behind, okay? I think behind, there's one small seat there, so you sit there. Like. You see, all crowded, no space. You sit here, you sit here. I take this small stool for you. And then you put down and then you let him sit. So that is exactly the kind of situation and this example that the Apostle James is stating. Then the Apostle James asks in verse 4, are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? So the Apostle James is saying, are you not showing favoritism? How are you judging in the first place? You don't even know this person who's wearing this branded clothes. You don't even know this person, the other person, who's wearing the dirty clothes. And then how do you judge? What do you judge? How do you judge them? What is your criteria of judging? It's just based on the looks, right? You just see, oh, this man is wearing proper clothes. So he must be smart. He must be intelligent. He must know the Bible very well. He must be some big person out there. Therefore, he must have a good place. Then the one in dirty clothing, oh, he's wearing like that, means he's not very educated. He's someone who cannot profit the church, maybe. So we put him away. So is this how we are treating one another? So maybe for this incident, it doesn't relate too much for us because we're not being ushers, but relating to Ebenezer, when someone comes into your group, when someone new enters your group, how do you judge them? How do you treat them? Do you treat them equally, like how you treat all your fellow peers in Ebenezer? Do you go and welcome the person? Have you even spoke to everyone who is new among you. So this is what we must continue to understand and know, that we cannot show any preferential treatment just because the person seems like a bit different from us. The person is, maybe we say, oh, this person so strange, why he come in and then why he act like that? Therefore, I don't want to speak to him. I want to have nothing to deal with him. I want to deal nothing with him. So, is this how we should react? Is this how we should conduct ourselves? Again, the Apostle James says, this is not because you are showing favoritism. You are disobeying God by becoming judges of evil thoughts. So you have made yourself a judge, and then of evil thoughts, meaning this evil thoughts is evil reasoning. So you use evil reasonings, which is just merely judgment by your sight. You use judgment by your sight to evaluate others. But what? How does God tells us how we should judge? This we can see from 1 Samuel 16. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 16. This is how God judges a person. And we have to learn this. 1 Samuel 16. I'll read for us. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So here, plain and clear, the Lord looks on it, the Lord looks at the heart. So we have to also make sure that we look at people's heart. But of course, it's not so easy to just examine someone's heart. So before that, and that's why the Lord gives this warning, don't merely look at the outward appearance. Look at the person's heart before you judge. Know what is the person's intention, motive, before you make any quick judgment on the person. So it is best not to be so quick in judging others than to judge wrongly. So therefore, look at the person's heart and don't be so quick to look at the person's outward appearance and judge so quickly. So after this evaluation of how the Apostle Paul looks at people who show favoritism, we know that we want to examine ourselves. Whether are we practicing this kind of favoritism ourselves? So this examining is taken from verse 5 to 11. We turn back to James chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. So in the next three verses, verse 5 to 7, the Apostle Paul issues or gives us three questions to ask ourselves, to examine those people during them who are showing this kind of attitude of favoritism. So he asks them, verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? Question 1. So he's asking, okay, look, does not God choose those who are poorer in the world, those who whose position are not so high in the world? Has not God elected them unto salvation? So all of us here, how many of our parents are CEOs of big company? How many of you are like how many of you have parents who own huge companies like Microsoft or like Bill Gates or Apple or Facebook, this kind of company? Don't have, right? Because we also know from the Bible that the those who are rich, it is easier, right, for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter into the heaven, to enter into the kingdom of God. But of course, it's not impossible, totally impossible, for everything is possible with God. Yet, it is hardly so in the case of this world, because they are always attracted with having more riches, accumulating more earthly riches, and then they just totally disregard God. They say, there's no God, the God is only me. Riches are my idol, riches are my God. I want to worship these riches, because how I know really if there's eternal life? I just live my life now lah. Whatever that comes after, just comes after. I don't need to care so much. But what the Bible tells us, there's judgment after death. So these rich people hardly have faith. These rich people hardly are Christians. Rich meaning those very, very rich. And so God has elected the poor, the lowly, like all of us, the common people. So is this not the case? Yes, this is the case. So we have answered the first question. Second question, verse 6. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? So he says, okay, since this is the case, then why you despise the same kind of people you are? Why you despise the poor? Why you despise these common people? Is it not often that rich men oppress you? So during their time, those rich men will just take those poor people to court, and then just accuse them of some false accusations, so that they can confiscate their property for themselves. So this is what's happening during that time. A lot of unfair treatment to the poor, where the rich bullies the poor. So this is the case. So the Apostle James is taking on this example to show that since this is the case, then why are you still siding the rich? Why one rich man come in and then you still give him such preferential treatment if this is the common case? Then verse 7 again, the third question to ask them, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? So you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself someone who really loves Christ, who really treasures the name of Christ. But yet, the rich, they often are the ones who blaspheme God, because again, they have money as their God, and they just don't care about God. They say, there is no God. So they blaspheme the name of God. They say that God is false. God is just in your imaginations. There's no such thing. So this third question again is answered rhetorically. So we know that the answer for these three questions are yes, a rhetorical question. Then next, Paul goes into addressing two groups within this people that he is speaking with. So these two groups, the first group is from verse 8, we see that if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. So this first group of people, we want to now examine ourselves whether which group are we in, this first group or the next group that I'll be touching on. But this first group is the obedient group. This first group is the one that are not showing favoritism. These people are not showing favoritism. Because why? It is said that they fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. What's the royal law? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So Apostle James is saying, you fulfill this law, you love your neighbor as yourself, you love your neighbor as yourself by not showing favoritism, you are doing well. And he encourages them, continue to do well. But this next group of people he addresses, verse 9 to 11. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, and also said, do not kill. Thou, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So this second group is the group that shows favoritism. This second group of people. Are we in this group? Because this group of people, they do not show brotherly love as equally as the first group. They do not show brotherly love fairly. They ostracize, they separate themselves for those who are different from them. And how do they do so? Because they have respect to persons. Again, they just based on outward appearance, outward criteria, they separate themselves wrongly. And so the Apostle James says that you do so, you are committing sin. When you practice favoritism, you are sinning against God. And this should not be the case. So he continues to explain further. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So don't just think that favoritism is a small thing. Just don't think that all this, just because I don't like this person's face, then I just don't talk to this person. It's okay, because I like so many other people's face, then I talk to them. It's okay, right? I just don't talk to one person, I talk to 10 people. It makes up for that number, right? Here, the Apostle James says, no, because just like the 10 commandments, if you break one law, if you break one of the 10 commandments, you break all the 10 commandments. You transgress against one, you transgress against all. Because already you show yourself that you do not love your neighbor as yourself. Just one neighbor is enough to sentence you to death, to sentence you to judgment. So Apostle James continues to say in verse 11, he that said, so God that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Same example, if you break one commandment, if you break the commandment of committing adultery, but yet you don't kill, so can you say that I am not a lawbreaker? Cannot, because you break one, again, you have broken against the law. You have broken against God's law. So in Singapore, if you don't, if you break just one law, you need to go to court, right? People can sue you already. Those policemen can catch you. It's not because you must break every single law of the land, and then they make a checklist, and then they tick, 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 and then finally they say, oh, you have committed all this wrong, then I can sentence you to jail. It's not just merely one law, one rule you break, is enough to sentence you to jail. So this is what the Apostle James is telling us. You show favoritism, you break this one rule, you are sinning against God already. So what does the Bible tells us? How we ought to show, how we ought to conduct ourselves with regards to our fellow brethren. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. I'll read for us. Romans chapter 13 speaks about how we ought to deal with fellow brethren. Or rather, deal with fellow men. Men. All men. Okay, Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling the law. So if you want to fulfill the law, and you have to fulfill the law, you cannot owe anything. And what is the, so we have a debt to everyone, you know. Everyone in this world, we owe them a debt. Wherever they come, wherever they interact with us, we owe them. We owe them the love. We owe them to show love to them. So if they need help, we must give them help. This is what the Bible says, not what I say, but the Bible says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Plain and simple here. We have to love one another. It doesn't mean love is not without truth. Love must always come with truth. Therefore, we practice, sometimes we have to practice separation as well. So, but loving must always come with truth. But here, the Apostle Paul is telling us that we have this debt of loving one another. So go back to the Apostle James. He says that you should not be showing this kind of favoritism, because you break one commandment, you break all. And then, so it doesn't matter how good you are to one group or one person. What matters is how you deal with those who you don't really favor. Because even though there may be some misunderstanding between both of you, or there may be some inclination away from this person, yet you still have to love this person. You still have to try your best. If the person comes for you for help, you cannot just say, "Aiya, you don't talk to me, you go away. Find someone else who likes you." Yeah. So this is the kind of way we treat. But should this be the case? Cannot be the case. We must help him equally. So in verse 12 to 13, we know that we have to endure in not showing this kind of favoritism. So rather, endure in loving one another. And therefore the Apostle James says, "So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment." So here the Apostle James is saying, if you want to show yourself as a Christian, because you as a Christian are the ones that will be judged by the law of liberty. Law of liberty is just saying that you will be judged according to the law of love. So those who have already believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what judgment will you undergo? The judgment of the saints, judgment of the believers, which is the Bema Seat judgment, the judgment of rewards, and not the Great White Throne judgment. So we'll undergo this judgment of believers. So you must conduct yourself. You must make yourself like one of these people who say that you are Christian, you are delivered from this Great White Throne judgment. So speak ye and so do. Don't just only say you have been saved. Do it. Don't just only say that I have love for everyone and not show it. Show it through fairly treating one another, through equally loving your brethren as yourself. So verse 13 also he says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy." So here Paul is warning, James is warning all who have not shown this kind of love, this kind of fair treatment to everyone. And he says that this is mercy. So as the Lord has showed you mercy, as God has showed you mercy, you must show this kind of love, this kind of care to all your brethren. Because if you continue not to show this kind of love and care for your brethren, then you may just be one of those condemned to the Great White Throne judgment and condemned to the lake of fire. But again, he goes to say, mercy rejoices against judgment. So if you repent now and show and change your ways and show love, you are determined to change and say, okay, from here on, I want to do my best for God. I want to show myself a good Christian testimony. I want to treat everyone fairly. I don't want to just stick to my group and just isolate myself to this group and just don't care about others. I want to treat newcomers fairly. So I want to introduce myself. I'm resolved that if a new person comes in, I will speak to him, ask him or her what, how they are, what they need. If anything, if there's any problem, they can find me. So these are the things that we can do for our newcomers. Is that what you want to resolve with yourself? So therefore, the Apostle James sums up all this and says, continue to do as you say you are. You say you are Christian, do like Christ did. Show no favoritism, so show no preferential treatment. Always be fair and just in your dealing. So may the Lord help us. Let us pray. Eternal God, our gracious and loving Father in heaven, truly you are fair God, you are just God, and you have shown no preferential treatment towards us, for you loved us all equally, and you have sent thy only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, that whosoever believeth in thee will not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank thee for salvation, grace, and we thank thee for thy love. So forgive us if we have transgressed thy law. Forgive us if we have showed any form of favoritism in our life. Help us to be resolved to do well for thee, to show a good testimony among our brethren, so that we all may be encouraged, may we all be strengthened in the faith. So Lord, continue to keep us and help us. And as we go into a time of prayer, we pray you hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.